Got it. Here we go. John Crook.
What is this?
Hello, Andrew. Hang on.
I don't read emails. Oh.
Wow, it's news to me. Start over again. Sorry, Andrew. Here we go. It's the John and Jake Show.
What? Hold on. I'm reading the last page.
All right. Dive it in.
That's news to me, so I'll have to reserve any comment about it. I have not heard anything about it.
Obviously,
that.
The governor responding to the news here at Cairo. Governor, anything else to say? How's Teeny feel about this?
Before I espouse an opinion, I should know of which I speak.
Okay. Thank you, Governor. Obviously, the governor responding to the news that they've changed the show. Even says it on here, John and Sherry. That's why I was thrown off.
Ooh, my bad.
Jake's here. Jake taking over for Sherry.
Thank you for having me.
It wasn't my decision.
Well, I appreciate the vote of confidence.
Way to wrap your arms around this.
You can always count on John for a nice big hug.
No, listen, I think management said, here's the thing. We talked about this one time on the air. Joe and all his experience in radio, and Sherry and I are talking about it. The weirdest thing they do to listeners is, every single day, you're listening to Bob and John, the Bob and John Show, all the hits, playing top 40. And then all of a sudden, the next day, it's, some other station.
Classical music.
Yeah, and they never bother to go, whatever, any other guys, They just treat the listeners like they're complete morons, and they have, no memory of anything. That's the station I listened to, and then all of a sudden it's gone. So I said, handle it any way you want. Here's what happened. So, obviously, the way the economy's going, and it's difficult for Cairo to make all things work when it comes to salaries and everything. So they, unfortunately, today was the day they came in here, and they whacked a bunch of people. By me not having emails, I didn't even know all that stuff was going on. And then I heard from management this morning. I was like, geez, so now it's going to happen. So Sherry is no longer the co-host. Jake comes in. There's other people that are not going to be part of this show and part of the station that you get a chance to know. But, it's the finances, the whole thing. So what happens with sales are down or, people aren't spending as much and the economy's sort of in the shaky spot. So they look at it and they say, well, how much money do we have and where can we spread the money around? Who are they going to keep and not keep? So that's what happens. So ends up, and somebody responded, Spike came out. Is Spike still working here?
Yeah, Spike's still here.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. He said the text line blew up at 2:30.
For what reason?
We don't have anybody. We fired the guy in tech, and apparently something went down in the tech. No, I'm kidding. No, I guess it comes up on the picture.
They changed the social media sites.
Oh. Yeah, it's a nice picture they chose, too. You look fantastic, and I look like...
Oh, already you're complaining?
Well, it's
management on the line.
It's a big
obviously
reveal.
Obviously, we get somebody else in here.
And there's 95 pictures they could have chosen, but they chose that one. That's fine. Whatever, it's fine.
I haven't even seen it yet. All
right. I guess it puts me in my place, and that's it's a fun way. It's like hazing.
Well, this
like a nice new start.
They nuked the night show entirely.
Yeah, so I used to host the night show. For anybody who's unfamiliar, I used to host a 7 to 10 show.
That'd be
now,
everybody.
And now they're gonna and now they're gonna they're not doing the night show anymore, and so they moved me here. So I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you guys. The warm welcome.
Very
I appreciate
happy
it.
To have
yeah.
Yeah. So it's tough for Sherry. I called her. I got a text from her. I got fired. So then I called her, and then somebody else in management called me. So she's like, look, she knew because the thing about me, the craziest story she ever told, she's been in radio for more than 30 some years. She went to her boss. This is many, 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 many years ago at another market. And she said, I just have to know, I'm about to sign this mortgage. I'm about to buy this house. I have to know. And you could just be honest with me. It's okay. We've known each other. The guy's name is Jerry or whatever. Jerry, just tell me. Just tell me. Because I know cuts are coming. Am I safe? Am I safe? Because I have to know. Because if I buy this house, I have to know. Oh, Sherry, don't. You're fine. You're fine. You're fine. Don't. Oh, please. You're fine. That was on a Thursday. Comes in on a Monday or whatever. And she buys the house on Friday. Just making the days work. And they let her go.
Ugh.
And she said, why didn't you tell me?
Jerry.
Jerry. You know, I just couldn't, you know, we weren't allowed to tell you. And she's like, oh, but just as a human being, like, you know, get the business part of it out of there. She's like, oh, my God. So she has been through it all, you know, ups and downs and all those stuff. So she knew.
That's the way that this industry, like my first week on the job here, when I first started, before I was even Dory's producer, I was a producer over on KTTH. This is like 17 years ago. And my first week on the job, I got hired. I was all excited. Oh, this is the big radio world. I'm so thrilled to be mm-hmm. here. And then they, at the end of that week, do you remember the oldies station? I mean, we're on their 97.3.
KBSG. Ryan and Ryan.
Yeah. And now, and then that week they were like, all right, oldies is done. Now it's going to be, you know, we're going to, you know, it's becoming the FM talk station. But at the time it was like, you know, 100 people gone. I mean, that's just the way it kind of works.
The brutal part of the business where they can't take the risk. I understand if I were in management, do the same thing. They can't take the risk and tell you you're gone and then let you go on the radio.
Because you might say something horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to trust the people.
There are some people.
BJ
Shea.
He knew.
And he had like 2 or 3 months. And he didn't, like, the consummate pro that he is, he never said a negative thing. He helped them prepare the next show. Like,
I think they could have done the same thing with Ron and Don. I think they could have told Ron and Don. I think those guys had too much respect for just the industry itself. You could have told them and allowed them to say goodbye to the listeners. Because they, you know, the listeners love Ron and Don. They still do. Ron and Don still have this incredible connection with everybody listening to him for so long. You know, get in there and get whacked on a Friday and you don't come in on a Monday. People are like, what the hell happened? I think, and I'm just guessing, but I think they could have. But it's at risk. You know, do you take the risk? Because then if things get screwed up, it goes all the way up to somebody else in some other state. Well, why'd you do that?
Yeah. Right.
But I think those guys, they would have done it, but I'm sure there are times where somebody has gone on the air and they know, so they just decide they're going to just go nuts on the air.
Sure.
There's
positive.
Lots of examples on YouTube of DJs that know they're going to do that, so they just blast away.
Oh, there was the one guy that locked himself in the control room for like days.
Yes, yes, yeah.
It's a real reasonable bunch, radio people, sounds like.
Well, if you are not exactly thinking about what your next job is, right? I remember working with this. There was a guy at this other station when I was doing weather, and he got another job in another market. So he decided he was going to go on for his last broadcast. It was in Grand Junction, Colorado. And he just went crazy. He was doing elephant imitations and like imitations of the boss, and just decided he was going to do 3 minutes of weather, which is just him doing 3 minutes of like really bad stand up and making fun of everybody and making fun of the town and making fun of the weather watchers and stuff. Well, the news director took the tape and then sent it to the new job that he had. And then that guy's like, you're done. You're not going to work here. So it's like, you do have to be careful on that sort of stuff. He knew he had another job. He thought he had another job he's going to. So in this case, for someone like Sherry, who I think of like as a sister, you could tell, by the way, I tease her all the time on the air. I feel terrible for her, but she's been in a long time, and she's a big girl, and she knows, she's got big hands anyway, and she knows how to handle this sort of stuff, but it's still, it hurts when you would like the people to just let you know ahead of time. That's all. But again, it's just by the rules, by how you play.
This is absolutely the worst day of my entire life.
Teeny's upset.
See, they did love each other.
I just have to say real fast, I got to host with her on Thursday and Friday.
She's still alive, by the way.
No, I'm not saying she's not with us anymore. I'm just saying that, like, she has always been, every time I've been able to work with her, she's been so generous
to me.
She hated
you. Secretly, she hated you.
She hated me? Yeah. She's a good actress. She's a good actress. She's a good actress.
She loved you. She always requested you.
Yeah. No, she was great.
Okay, again.
She's still with us. She's still with us. No, we're not, like, you know, saying that she, in our memories, we're... I mean,
but I appreciate that, Cairo, having been through this, like you said, so many times, typically the management stance is pretend like nothing happened.
Oh.
Just go on like it's just a normal day and the audience will get used to it. So I appreciate you and everybody having the courage to stand up
for
and
Kathy,
say thank you.
For Brian, for other people. They said, how do you want to handle it? I said, what do you want me to do? And it was really nice because normally they would hand you the thing that you got to say or don't say and stuff like that. Yep. And don't say anything. When I got a job in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, I replaced a guy who had been there for like 150 years and died in his car in the parking lot, had a heart attack. And everybody knew him. And I think he was like Mr. Johnson or something. Nobody knew his first name. He was like, oh, here's Mr. Johnson with the weather. Of course, he had a bow tie or something like that. And they said, don't mention him. Don't never. I'm like, what? The guy was like an institution, right? The people are naming their kids after him. And this is my firstborn, Mr. Johnson. kid's got a bow tie on. He's 3 weeks old. Yeah, so I was like, how can I not mention? Don't. It's a very, very sore subject for the station.
Plus,
and for everybody
happened
else.
In his car. Jeez Louise.
It's not like anybody killed him. It wasn't like he working at Boeing or something.
I'm just saying, like, that's a very, you know, it's a crazy way to end.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, you know, dying do what he loved to do.
Sitting in his car.
No, but in all seriousness, thank you guys for having me. I'm thrilled. I'm excited.
You should be.
I am thrilled. It's going to be fun. I love working with all you guys. I think it's going to be a fun show.
Wait. This text just came in.
Yep.
Jake's been replaced.
Oh, geez. That was fast.
Is there an intro for you? What is this?
I don't think we have an intro
we
yet.
We do, actually.
Hang on. Why is that your intro?
Because I was a huge Michael J. Fox fan when I was a kid, and I tried to have my name changed to Kyle Fox.
Don't need money. Well, you see what they're paying you now. And you don't need fame. This is your song. Yeah.
No. Is there anything else we can talk about now? They're giving us a move on sign.
Are they?
No, they're not.
No.
Okay.
All right. There. So that's it. And yeah. Hoo-ah. Oh, good news. Joe, because I guess he felt like that the Flames were licking at his feet, so he should really get on it and get good guests and stuff. So we will be talking to David Danton, who is the retired rodeo clown, the man that captured the zebra in North Bend.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Can you believe we got this guy?
Well, Joe felt like, geez, if I don't get somebody, they're going to fire me next.
Yeah, I wasn't sure until about
noon. Did you guys hear how they captured him? Did you, like, what the process was like?
He's going to come on and talk about it, but the thing is, we want to ask him, because some people are now critiquing, because, of course, other people that have a lot of, like, how to capture zebra experience, which
sure.
is zero,
yeah.
are critiquing how he did it. He is a professional rodeo clown. He knows what he's doing, I guess, capturing horses and stuff. It's from the horse family, so... People that have kind of said, I don't think it's fair. They didn't treat the animal right, or they're saying that it would scare.
I read the description of what they did. It didn't sound crazy to me.
Yeah, Friday night. So it happened Friday night. And at first, I think it was Fox 13 tweeted something like, oh, the zebra's been captured. And there's like a sad, sad side to the story. I'm like, what could that possibly mean? And then I started hearing headlines like there was like some abuse or something in how they captured it. But what I've read as far as the details and how Dan was involved, it was... It couldn't have been any...
Textbook yeah, zebra exactly. catching.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just like my grandma used to. It's white bread and oats. Right. That's how they caught him.
Yeah.
He just was like, fed him some white bread, yeah. and the zebra went, oh, that
And he had a horse
nice.
Friend, apparently, that he was...
And the zebra fell in love, which yeah. we also found out about. So, you know, overall, I think it was a really nice story.
I agree.
And now he's heading back home to Montana.
I am sad that the zebra saga's over.
You though. Know who else is not happy about it? Huh. Everyone in North Bend, all yeah, those right. businesses. We were talking about this last week. All these businesses in North Bend, they started capitalizing. Like, they started offering, like, zebra special menu items. People were selling on Etsy. They were selling zebra coasters
yeah.
with
yeah.
Bigfoot riding on it and stuff. And so now those are completely pointless. And now the economy in North Bend will probably just drop through the floor because
yeah.
the zebra's
gone. Oh, this news just in from Cairo Corporate. Everybody in North Bend has been laid off as well. So apparently it's spreading. It's
like, it feels good to laugh.
Yeah. By the way, did he have to get into the barrel at any time as the rodeo clown?
I don't believe so, but we'll have to ask him that.
You said in his bio he's a bullfighter?
That's what they said in the New York Times.
What does that mean?
15 years of bullfighting. I guess they didn't want to use rodeo clown or something like that, so they called him a bullfighter.
But like what?
It was a bull rider. A bullfighter is the guy with the matador with the right. big sword and yeah. stick it into the head of the thing and the cape and the thing and the
yeah, all that stuff.
I don't think he was a
Spain.
Bull.
Yeah. I hope not. I'm not a fan.
No, I don't think he's fighting bulls. I don't think he's yeah. stabbing bulls. I think he was probably diving in. You know, like when the bull goes crazy and then he dives in the barrel?
Yeah, yeah. He's a rodeo clown.
He's a rodeo
yeah.
clown.
Yeah. yeah.
He doesn't fight him.
All right. Well, here's the thing. All the news. Andrew, I think we're still doing newstainment.
Absolutely. Can't give up on that.
No. So for those of you just tuning in, the corporation at Cairo, owned by Bonneville, looking at the numbers, how the economy is in Seattle compared to other cities, we see that it's down. So they're looking at, we're in this big hot air balloon. They're cut some of the ballast, get rid of some of the weight in order to have the thing still afloat. And unfortunately, that means that people like our buddy Nate, who I'm going to call after the show, Nate goes... Mickey comes in to do traffic. You're here. Sherry is no longer co-hosting, not for anything she said, not for anything she did. She's the amazing, perfect, and absolute greatest co-host and friend you could possibly have. So Sherry goes, and a bunch of other people as well are shown the door. I wasn't here for it. I came in because I wanted to see you guys in person. But, you know, that's that horrible day where you see people being, you know, escorted out of the building. It just, it, you can feel the sadness here in the station. So it's tough. All right, let's do this. Let's check. Is Mickey at home? Mickey's doing the traffic at home. Okay, Mickey, check traffic.
I'm
come
right
back.
Here.
All right, and then we'll find out from the man himself mm-hmm. who caught the zebra and some of those other critics that really know all about catching zebras. We'll find out what David Denton has to say about that amazing moment as the zebra was caught the same way that Jake's mother caught zebras.
Yeah.
What was it?
My grandmother.
A grandmother.
My grandmother.
Okay, good. Yeah. You got a lot in common. Here we go. What's the show called now? What's it called?
Do you want me to tell you, or are you going to read it
up.
Again?
Looking it up.
Okay.
Oh, the John Curley and how do you say your last name?
Skorheim.
There you go.
Some people pronounce it Skormeyer, but it's Skorheim.
Got it. What's it like catching a live zebra? Is it life-threatening? Is it something that could... Do you have it? Andrew, yeah.
It should be there. It should be there.
Hang on. Wait.
You need a live sounder? Do you see it?
No. Oh, no, I don't see it. Hold on. Ah.
There we go. Everyone's worst nightmare.
Yes.
Being eaten alive by a wild animal.
Like a zebra. North
In
Bend.
In this episode, three horrific stories of people who've been attacked by predators of the African savanna.
Well, not African savanna, but...
What's it like to become... human prey.
Oh, we'll find out. I know, David, I know that's a big buildup, but let's face it, you were able to corral a zebra, but at any time, was your life threatened?
No.
For the sake of the show, David, for at any time, was your life threatened?
Absolutely. It was the scariest experience I think I might have ever lived.
There you go.
Do you remember? Yeah. Do you remember I fought bulls a long time? I'll take the bulls any day over a zebra.
Oh, I know.
What is fighting bulls? I saw that in your bio. How did you fight bulls?
Yeah. All right, so to the rodeos, right? There's a rodeo clown, rodeo bullfighter, and so during a rodeo, bullfighters just protect the bull riders when they get bucked off or when they get off the bucking bull. It's the guy who steps in the way and protects the rider so he can get away.
Okay,
so
it's not like a matador situation.
Compared to zebras?
Yeah.
No, not at all. Not a matador situation at all. So, but bulls any day over the zebra.
David, just real quick back to the rodeo clown stuff. Why's the one guy get the barrel and you never got the barrel? It seems like the barrel guy kind of has like the... You guys jump around in front of them and everything to get him distracted
away.
He's more senior
in the job.
Well, the guy's laying there on the ground. The cowboy's on the ground trying to get up. So David kind of gets the bull to come over this way so the cowboy can get up on his own or get helped out. But
exactly.
Yeah, but then the guy jumping in the barrel sort of a, you know, don't you make fun of him? And, you know.
No. You never make fun of the clown because he's the one who has the mic.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah,
That's right.
Got to watch teasing those guys because you know what? The rest of the show is all about you and whatever comedy they can come up to give you a hard time.
That's true, yeah. There was that guy who always does the Ellensburg Rodeo who's the guy, the main guy who jumps in the barrel and stuff, and he thinks he is the funniest dude in the world. What is his name? And people go just to watch that guy. Forget his name.
Can you imagine the ego, though?
Flint Rasmussen, he was the guy forever. He was in PBR, and then... my buddy, J.J. Harrison.
J.J.
He's been there for a long time. I've been buddies with J.J. a long time. Great, great, great rodeo clown.
Yeah, they keep it going. All right, so
you bet.
You had heard, weren't you somewhere nearby or something when you heard that this thing, the fourth zebra was missing? And weren't you heading somewhere, as I remember the story?
Yeah, no, the story was on last Sunday. We were coming back from a big cattle drive. We helped friends round up cows. You know, this time of year, calves are being born, and you got to take care of them. So we were coming back from a big cattle drive on Sunday, and my son-in-law reached out and said, be careful. There's zebras on I-90. And not very often. I mean, I think maybe three or four times we've heard this before, but in North Bend, there's zebras on I-90. So my my wife and I looked at each other, and they happened to be at the exact exit we were about to take to go see our grandchildren.
Huh?
The zebras were at the exit?
They were.
How did you know? Because they've been chasing this thing for many days.
Yeah, well, no, this was before they were chasing them. This was last Sunday.
Yeah.
And so we knew they were there because one was holding the cardboard sign that said, "We'll work for food." And so we figured that had to have been the zebra.
Hold on a second. So, by the way, Andrew, please get the rim shot ready because David's got like 3 or 4 more jokes loaded up in the cylinder here, I can tell.
Absolutely. It's fun, right? This has got to be fun. And so we literally took the exit, and we have a lot of experience actually catching loose animals. And so we had our trailer with us, kind of the things that we thought maybe we need to help. And so my wife, Julie, and I looked at each other and went, all right, are we going to see the grandkids, or do we go make another story in life and help this poor lady who lost her zebras?
Right.
Because when an accident happens like that, it's so consuming of anxiety that it's just scary. And so we thought, you know what? Let's go see what we can do to help. So we went and helped those and help wrangle those zebras up and get them in a trailer and home safe. But then there was one loose, and so it was that one that we caught Friday.
What is the process of, because everyone was looking for it. In fact, they even had to shut down parts of the city and hiking trails because too many people were coming out trying to get pictures. So did you have a skill set in hunting zebras? Can you hunt zebras? How did that work?
No hunting. I'm not a hunter. But
not hunting, but I don't know, picturing of zebras?
Yeah, you know what? Well, picturing zebras is easy because there's a black and white striped one.
Okay.
And so, so our thought is that, you know what? Zebras, they're scared. They're out there. And so we started reaching out, calling people who may have seen the zebras. And I happened to get a hold of a gentleman named James who bike rides back there all the time for his exercise, which means he has a lot more energy than me. And he actually knew exactly where it had been hanging out. He sees it. He avoids it, but he sees it at this spot all the time, a couple different spots. And so it actually had, over the time, it had paired up with a horse named Razzle Dazzle.
Nice.
And he kept seeing it, kissing on Razzle Dazzle. And I said, that's where we need to go because that means it's just looking for safety.
Yeah.
And so we went. We met, we got to town, and our plan was to go see if we could find that. And so James met us, and it's so funny. He said, I'll just ride out there. So he rode out there with his on his bike, met us up, and gave us a pin drop to where Razzle Dazzle lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a honey trap, right? When you're trapping it
that's
with...
What you, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're right. It's easier to trap it with honey than it is vinegar, right? So in this case, it was easier to trap it with white bread than wheat bread, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. So there's a couple...
It's white bread. We got it in with white bread.
Got it.
So it's... we pulled in. Go ahead.
No. I was going to say, so you're able to surround it. Some of the criticism, because everybody's an expert when it comes to wrangling zebras.
So we weren't able to surround it, though. That's the catch. We didn't surround it. We literally opened the gates and razzled out, and Sugar walked in.
Wow.
Just going for the white bread and oats.
Yeah.
100%. Right? I saw her. It was so funny. We were talking about how we're going to even find her.
Mm-hmm.
And we went into the pasture, looked over the back fence, looked at what the terrain was and how we were going to set up our honey trap.
Mm-hmm.
And we went back to the front of the pasture, and one of our guys on the zebra roundup crew said, she's right there.
Hmm.
And we looked back, and there's an awesome video posted all over the place.
Yeah.
In which literally I walked through the pasture. The owner of the zebra had told me earlier that she loves white bread. And so as I walked out, I stopped Rick, who owns the place. I said, do you have any white bread? And he brought me a half a loaf of white bread. And literally, that's why she came in, is because I brought her the candy she's looking for.
Right. Sugar to the pocket.
Yep.
You know that term?
Right. No, I have no idea what that
is. You know that term, right, David? Sugar to the pocket?
Why would you put sugar in the pocket?
Sugar to the pocket is mean.
I know you well enough, I'm not going to admit if I do or not.
That's a term used with horses that are easy. If you want to get a good horse that's, you know, really simple to ride for young riders and stuff, sugar to the pocket means the horse will follow you anywhere if you got sugar in your pocket. Okay. And not all boogie eye. Not all boogie eye means the horse is not all, you know, skittish and stuff. It doesn't see something to the right or left. It flies up into the air.
Exactly. This is a zebra.
I'm throwing in the only terms I know.
Sure.
All right. So at this point, are they going to have a big parade for you, David? What's the plan? I mean, how do you turn this into money for yourself and your grandkids who you abandoned?
You know what? You know, we didn't do that for that, right? It wasn't the reason we got paid nothing, which is all over the place. We didn't get paid anything. You just the sugar in my pocket is knowing that we were to help get the zebra out of there safely and get this gal her zebra back, and it can be over with.
There you go.
I mean, that's what you do this stuff for. More people. I'm kind of an inspirational kind of guy. We did put this stuff on our website just because, you know, it's what we do. We have a company called Inspire Homes, and it was just fun. And we videotaped it. We started having live updates on our Inspire Homes Facebook page, and then that went all crazy because people thought we did it as a big media plea. And,
right,
and
for InspireHomes.com. You wouldn't be doing something like that at InspireHomes.com just looking for free media, especially from radio stations that are cutting overhead. You wouldn't be looking for a free plug at Inspire.com, would you?
What was that website again?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do that, John. And you know, John, if I was going to set this up,
yes,
I would have had to go buy a zebra and let the zebra out on I-90 first.
That's a lot of work. Hey, David.
It's a lot of work.
I know. David Denton, the zebra wrangler, the man himself, right there after 15 years of bullfighting. Play him out with a song. Hit him with that little Garth Brooks. Thank you, David.
Flesh blood, it's that damn old rowdy.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Awesome, John. Good to hear from you.
You too, my friend. Cowboy up.
It's wide as sugar in the pocket.
The gold in the buckle, he'll win the next go-round.
Yep. There we go. John and Jake show.
It's got a nice ring to it.
Well, yeah.
I like it.
Jay and Jake. And no, not this.
What about order. Curly and Skorheim?
Oh, that sounds like a bad cop show. That's a summer filler show.
Right, okay.
That eventually gets canceled. They don't like that show.
He's Curly. He's Skorheim. The news, if you missed it, if you tuned in the very top of the hour, then we're chewing our cabbage twice. Big day, big terrible day here at Cairo. They had to let a lot of people go, and one of them in particular, who I care and love, I've known Sherry now for like 12 or 14 years. Sherry, my co-host, Jake steps in, so it's Jake and myself. Jake's no longer doing the evening show. I know you like doing the evening show. So that was a big change. You'll hear it here. They changed the website already. Jake already doesn't like his photo, so he's complaining about that.
Could have been better. There's like a bunch of photos they had. You know, they brought in a photographer, they took a bunch of shots, and they picked the one that made me look the worst.
But you know what's funny? Because like, you look at it, you're like, that's not a good photo of me. But like the other person doesn't look at the way you look at yourself.
No, you said that to me. You said, I don't like that photo of you.
I did not, did I?
No.
I didn't look at it.
Your picture is very photogenic because you used to be a male model, and that's fine. But
I've complained about a bunch of times on different photos. At one time at King 5, they used to hand out this thing called the Best of Western Washington. It was a mailer. They were used to mailers back then. You fill out, your favorite place to dump a mattress, you know, favorite place for cup of coffee, favorite firefighters. This is the Best of Western Washington. So they sent this mailer out one time. And I looked at the mailer, and the back had the King 5 team, the home team. And I looked, I was like, why do I look so odd in this photo?
They choose that fit? Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know what happened? They said, well, we didn't have one with you in with the rest of everybody else, Gene Anderson and Dennis Bounds and everything. So we had to sort of Photoshop, this is a primitive Photoshopping back then, of your face. But the only way to get it in, we had to make your head skinnier and then elongate it to fit it in with everybody.
Oh, that's awkward. Yeah.
So I look like Mr. Pencil or Mr. Softy. Remember Mr. Softy, the ice cream cone?
I don't, but I'm going to go with it.
I look like Mr. Softy. And I'm like, but why? So you've distorted like my skull in order to fit me in there. Yeah, that's what you had to do.
Well, my picture's not that bad. If you go to the Facebook
page. That's what I'm saying.
If you go to the Facebook page right now, it's not that bad. I don't look
Somebody get in there and distort Jake's skull.
Yeah, make it like one of those alien.
Like everything is lighting and angles. Like that's, I mean, and every picture that John takes, it seems like his lighting is on point and his angles always look good. Yeah. And that's not a big deal. It's like a.
No, obviously, very, it is to you. That's you're talking about during the commercial break.
No, it's just like, you know, it's my, you only have one chance to make an impression on people. It's a first impression.
Too late.
Yeah, I guess so.
Hey, the shot they had up for Sherry and I when we first started the show was I had my dog. I was holding on to my dog, and Sherry was, her face was like down trying to kiss the dog, but the dog was out of the shot. So she has this like, and that's what they had up there.
It made
there,
no
and she's
sense.
Like, no. And she's like, wow, welcome to Cairo.
Yeah.
There you go. Anyway.
Fun stuff.
You write to us at MyNorthwest.com, although Andrew says don't bother, or you come in through the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line, 1-888-973-5476. Show goes on.